This is the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy, also in studio today. And Bill, today I'd like to get to this story on the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center. They have been hassling Christians now since 2002.
Is that because we're too rich and they're for poverty? Is that what the Southern Poverty Law Center?
They're definitely not impoverished. They've got, what, $500 million in assets?
Yeah, $500 million in assets.
No, the Southern Poverty Law Center is not impoverished, my friends. That is not one of their problems. The SPLC, though, has been hassling Christians since 2002. They sued Roy Moore. Do you remember the Supreme Court justice, or one of the justices of the Alabama Supreme Court? Roy Moore would keep his Ten Commandments plaque in his courtroom, and that was, he was sued by the SPLC, and that was the beginning of Roy Moore's troubles. That would have been, what, 16, 17 years ago. The SPLC has been busy hassling Christians for a very long time now. And they, at one time, focused their attention on the KKK, white supremacist groups, basically suing them for their money and draining them of resources. So that was their strategy early on. But in 2002, somehow everything shifted towards attacking Christians. Not sure why.
Yeah, they were founded in 1971. Julian Bond, who was a politician from Georgia, was one of the founding members, and he was head of it for a long time. And they were supposed to be civil rights activists, and they were to protect those who were being persecuted because of racism. But they turned their ire on to Christians.
Yeah. Well, and again, friends, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, who have tremendous influence over men and their resources, especially if these men aren't Christians. And I don't think the SPLC has ever claimed to have any kind of a Christian faith or a faith in God. I believe they're just a humanist atheist organization.
Yeah. I mean, some of their early lawsuits resulted in the desegregation of recreational facilities, the reapportionment of the Alabama legislature, integration of Alabama state troopers force, and reforms in the state prison system. Mm-hmm. So when you read that, you go, oh, okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
But somewhere around 2002, everything shifted, and they worked towards persecuting Christians. And now Christian organizations are getting smeared by the guilt by association tactic when they get put on the same database as white supremacist and racist groups by the SPLC. And that's really what's resulted in the last 5 or 6 years. And they have targeted the Family Research Council, Alliance Defending Freedom, Pro Ministries, Faith to Action, the American Family Association, D. James Kennedy Ministries.
And Generations.
And Generations, yeah. And along with, what, 1,000 others. So they have been a significant thorn in the flesh for a lot of conservative Christian organizations around this country. And, of course, the other liberal organizations like Amazon, PayPal, credit card processing companies, etc., team up with SPLC to persecute Christians. And they've been doing this for the last couple of years. I'm going to say 2 or 3 years, Bill. So about 10 days ago, my wife was in the kitchen, and she turned to my daughter and said, let's just pray to the end of these people that are running around hassling Christian organizations across this country. So she prayed in the kitchen with my daughter, and a couple days later, the SPLC co-founder Morris Dees was fired. And then now the president of the organization, Richard Cohen, resigned, as well as the legal department head and all the rest. So now we've got this implosion going on with the SPLC. Allegations of workplace discrimination, sexual harassment, et cetera, et cetera.
Wow.
So hypocrisy.
The prayer of a righteous man or a woman availeth.
I guess so. Why don't you say that again?
Yeah. The prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much.
Well, it does. It does. And, you know, we don't have to worry about these kinds of things. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought for him, but he could not be found. Let's remember that God is sovereign over all these things. When he's ready to pull the plug on the tool of the devil, he'll do it. Just like that. And it's over. Put a fork in it. It's over. When it's over, it's over. If God gets tired of it and he's ready to put it down, he'll put it down. That's what God does. We serve a sovereign God. We acknowledge a sovereign God. Friends, be sure that your worldview is self-consistent with itself. As we are Christians, as we fear God and the others don't, the others will be destroyed. If they don't fear God, if they won't acknowledge the sovereignty of God, they will be destroyed, utterly destroyed. And as we humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, as we cry out for His salvation, and as we trust Him for His sovereign control over all things, He will crush the enemy, and He'll do it again and again and again. This is our faith. Friends, be sure you're self-consistent to the faith that you say that you hold to. We're going to talk about fear. How much fear seems to dominate Christians who are constantly confronted by the homosexual, gay, Borg, and the rest. We're going to talk about that next on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson. Hello, my friends. This is your host, Kevin Swanson, with a special message. You know, we face tremendous attacks on faith, family, and freedom in our day. This generation sits on a knife edge, and the social and economic pressures are rising exponentially. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And the greatest need of the day is faith, faith-filled men, godly men to be husbands, fathers, and leaders. So this year, Generations is sponsoring not one, but two men's discipleship intensives for fathers and sons, young men, and church leaders. We are planning these men discipleship intensives for Paoli, Indiana for July and Elizabeth, Colorado for November. Join me with Scott Brown, Mark Robinette, and others in Paoli, Indiana or Elizabeth, Colorado this year. These events are space limited, so you need to register now for it. Register at generations.org/events. We're back on the Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, Bill Jack from Worldview Academy, also in studio with me today. Bill, this is a big story. The New Yorker picked this up, called it The Reckoning of Morris Deeds and the SPLC. And there's a detailed report in the Los Angeles Times all about how SPLC fired Deeds, likely because of the long-term abuse of women and blacks at the organization. So they're seeing an hypocrisy here, and their friends are turning on them. This is like Robespierre.
Yeah. It's, if you want to put it in modern terms, like Harvey Weinstein. But Robespierre, I mean, he lopped off the heads of those that he had thought had gone too far.
Mm.
Those that he were on his side, but he didn't want them to exceed his, what he considered his limits. And then what happened is they turned on him.
It was his turn.
It was his turn.
Yeah. And the system tends to destroy itself, friends. When there's no fear of God before their eyes, of course the system is going to eat itself. Of course the system's going to consume itself. Well, this is what happens again and again and again. Hypocrisy is what man does best, and liberals do it even better.
Well, we
they do. They make monuments to their own liberalism. They kill babies in the morning. In the afternoon, they'll seek welfare compensation for
unwed mothers
and children who need school lunches.
Yeah.
Get that? This is hypocrisy to the umpteenth degree. This is hypocrisy to the 147th degree, my friends. And the liberals, they do it very, very well. And eventually they show themselves to be the hypocrites that they really are. And biblically speaking, we're talking Psalm 37 action here. I've seen the wicked in great power spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought for him. I was looking all over for him. Where's Morris Deese? Whatever happened to Morris Deese? Morris Deese was around here somewhere. Morris Deese was coming after 1,000 Christian organizations across the country, wasn't he? Well, where's Morris Deese?
His office has been cleaned out.
I sought for him. But he could not be found. Psalm 37, my friends, again and again and again throughout history. And here's one more story I'd like to throw into the mix, Bill. It really has a direct connection to this story. Do you remember ISIS?
Yeah.
Remember ISIS?
Yeah, kind of, huh?
It's kind of vague in your mind, isn't it?
Yeah.
Here's a Fox News story that I picked up about the same time that I picked up the story of the SPLC implosion. Fox News covered this. ISIS caliphate has officially crumbled. The caliphate has crumbled and the final offensive is over. While the official announcement hasn't yet been made, Fox News has been told that the village, the last ISIS stronghold, is liberated. It's the first time since we've been here in Syria for 5 days that the bombs have stopped dropping and the gunfire has disappeared. We have witnessed the end of the caliphate. The brutal empire that once ruled over 8 million people is gone.
Yeah, and who would have thought that 5-6 years ago?
I know. Who would have thought that?
We were sitting and going, wringing our hands going, they're going to be in power. They're taking over Syria, moving into Egypt.
Yeah. They're going off to North Africa. They're going to make it into Italy, on into France and then England. They're coming here too.
Right. The caliphate's a reality.
I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought for him, but he could not be found. Hallelujah. Jesus is on the throne. God is in control. How easily we forget these things. And there is so much fear, Bill, generated by these enemies of God. The assumption that somehow the SPLC, Amazon, Facebook, they have total control of the future, and they have an eternal existence. No. No, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. An eternal existence? Amazon's into debt up to here. Amazon is underwater, my friends. Amazon is gone. Amazon is good as gone. Facebook? Facebook is already topped out. Facebook's going down now. In fact, the longevity of some of these IT organizations is going to be cut shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter as the years go by. And yes, they tend to be the most liberal, but they also tend to be the ones that take all of the wrong chances. Remember that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And if these guys don't fear God at all, which they don't, you really think they're going to last?
No.
They're going to be gone.
Where's Harry Reid?
Yeah, whatever happened to Harry Reid?
What happened to John McCain?
Yeah, whatever happened to John McCain?
Life is a vapor.
Yeah.
Life is a vapor, not only for individuals, but also for corporations.
And these big, powerful organizations, friends, God raises them up so they can be smashed down like a bug on the road under the wheel of a semi. Splat. Can you say splat, Bill?
Thanks for the graphic on that, the visual on
You're welcome. Yeah. I think it's helpful. Yeah. I think it's Psalm 37.
How about a bug on a windshield?
That's fine, too.
Yeah.
I think it works better under the wheel of a gigantic semi.
Yeah. But he doesn't have guts to do that again, right?
No. He has no guts. The guts are gone. That's right. And this little puny creature that raises its fist up against Almighty God and says, I reject your law when it comes to homosexual behavior. I reject your law when it comes to abortion and to the slaughter of 180 million babies by the birth control pill and by other forms of chemical abortions. I reject you. When he raises his hand, his fist up to God, And sets himself against the Lord and his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds asunder, let us cast their cords from us. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Friends, they'll last for 0.8 seconds from God's perspective, and then they're smashed like a bug on the road under the wheel of a semi. Hallelujah. That's where these ideologies and these organizations go.
You know, it's the Lord laughs at the wicked. That's the only place in Scripture where I see that it says God laughs, and it makes me shiver when I read that, because he laughs in derision at them. He mocks them because it says, for he knows their day is coming.
But, Bill, it's the fear that's generated amongst our Christian brothers and sisters when it comes to the discrimination against Christians on the part of the SPLC, Facebook, PayPal. The fear that somehow we might offend the homosexual gay Borg amongst Christians, Bill, it's palpable.
Yeah.
It's palpable. But friends, I want you to step back for a second and ask the question, Where is Pompeii today? That most wicked city that I know, it's just been the last 100 years or so, they've uncovered some of the most horrendous forms of sexual decadence ever in the history of the world until you get to the last 50 years in America, of course. But where is Pompeii? Where is Sodom and Gomorrah? Where is Rome? Where is Rome? Where is that mighty Roman Empire? Where is Nero and his wonderful ceremony of homosexual marriage that he brought into the Western world? Where is Nero? Where is Rome? Where is that wicked French Empire that was persecuting the Huguenots in the 1580s and 1590s? Where is that wicked French Empire persecuting the Protestant Huguenots in the 1580s? Here's another one for you. Where's Kmart?
What?
Remember how they...
Kmart.
They
Kmart.
Would...
Oh, I think my parents told me about them.
Remember Kmart?
Yeah.
They would promote pornography through Walden Books, one of their stores. And then the American Family Association and others said, now, whoa. Why is Kmart, the shop that's supposed to represent, you know, the American family, why is Kmart the number one promoter of pornography in America? Do you remember that? In the 1980s and 90s? Now, let me ask you this, just for a moment. Bill, where is Kmart? The Walmart, or I'm sorry, Bill, where is the Kmart down here in Parker, Colorado? Do you remember the one down on Parker in Maine?
Yeah.
Where is that Kmart right now? It's a Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of irony in that. Wouldn't you say there's a little irony in that? Whatever happened to Kmart? The number one promoter of pornography in the 1980s and 1990s. Where is Kmart? And by the way, where is Hugh Hefner?
Oh, Hugh,
he's 6 feet
yes.
under. He's yeah. 6 feet under. Where's Playboy? Playboy.
Where's Bill Cosby?
Collapsing. Yeah, where's Bill Cosby, Kevin Spacey, Harvey Weinstein, Woody Allen, Dustin Hoffman, all the edgy filmmakers of the 1970s, 80s, and 90s who are producing such immoral groundbreakers as Sex, Lies, and Videotape, Crying Game, Pulp Fiction, The Graduate, Midnight Cowboy, American Beauty. Where are these guys? Where's Bill Cosby, Kevin Spacey, Harvey Weinstein, Woody Allen, Dustin Hoffman? Taken down, baby, by the Me Too movement of the last 18 months. They're gone. They're in the toilet. The system is eating itself alive. And where's the mighty Spanish Empire? Remember the Spanish slave traders that started the business in the 14th century? In the 1480s, and ended with the Amistad debacle, where John Quincy Adams brilliantly defended these slaves before the Supreme Court of the United States, which, by the way, shows up in our new book, American Faith, coming out in about a month. It's a beautiful story. It's one of the best stories in American history.
So
John Quincy Adams,
story.
That's amazing. Hadn't defended anybody for 30 years in a courtroom, and yet did the most amazing job. And during the middle of his defense, they took a break. One of the Supreme Court justices died. He came back, did his closing arguments, and said, gentlemen, one day you will stand before the judgment seat of Almighty God, and you will give account for what you did right now in this case. It's a powerful ending to a powerful case. And, of course, the Spanish should never have done any of it, but they were supposed to have shut down their slave trading by 1820, but they didn't. They continued to do it because the Spanish at that time was a dirty, rotten crowd. And friends, let me ask you this right now. Where is the mighty Spanish slave trading that started the whole business, the whole dreadful business in the 1480s, and ended it in the 1820s after the Amistad case? Where is this Spanish slave trading business today? Gone. And, you know, in the 1700s, in the early 1800s, people probably thought this thing's going to continue. No, it's gone. Where's Bill Cosby? Where's Kevin Spacey? Harvey Weinstein? Woody Allen? Dustin Hoffman? Gone. They're all gone. Where's Bill Clinton today? Do you remember the guy who could get away with anything back in the 1990s? He was president of the United States. He was top of the heap. And he was having fun with all the women. And he was breaking all the rules, and Americans generally were in support of him. What, he had 75% approval rating after all of his sexual escapades?
Right.
Where is he today, Bill? Where is Bill Clinton today? Bill Clinton and whoever his wife was, they are not exactly the heroes of the American political system.
No, in fact, most Democrats just want them to go away.
That's right.
They have become a pariah.
Where is Richard Nixon? Okay. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought for him, but he could not be found. I could give you example after example after example. And Bill, I guess my closing remark is, and why are we fearing the homosexual Borg? Can you remember why we're supposed to be afraid of these people? Why is it that Christians are embarrassed for anybody who stands and speaks against the sin of homosexuality? Hey, listen, friends. 20 years from now, these Christians who were afraid of the gay Borg will be embarrassed for their timidity and cowardice in the year 2018, 2019. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought for him, and he could not be found.
God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, discipline, and a sound mind. And too often we cower in fear rather than operating from faith. We need to make Christianity the fad for the next generation, FAD, not fear and defeat, which is by which most Christians operate, but rather we need to operate from faith and duty. FAD, faith and duty, should be our cry. We do not walk by sight, we walk by faith. Amen. We look around and we go, oh, the wicked, they're going to be here forever. But the ISIS caliphate is destroyed. We see those who were once in power have been brought down low. And we go, God is still on his throne.
Amen. God is sovereign. And friends, I think this is the problem. I think that American Christians fear man. And there's precious little fear of God out there. And yet, if you look at what's gone on in history, you see how God, again and again, by his sovereign power, smashes these systems, takes down these ideologies, ruins these institutions. He runs over them like a bug on the freeway. So, friends, let me give you one more example. Just one more example, Bill. The San Antonio City Council, they're barring Chick-fil-A from opening a store in the city airport.
Yeah.
Do you see that?
I did see that.
Incredible. Chick-fil-A is probably received more persecution, is more hated than any other fast food restaurant in America because their owner happened to mention that he thought marriage should be confined to a man and a woman. And he did that, 10 years ago or something? And just one little tiny statement he made. And man, there has been more persecution against this company than I think any other business in the country. And yet they're doing very good, very, very well, thank you very much. They are the fastest growing fast food restaurant in America, bar none, clocked a 13.5% uptick in sales last year. And Chick-fil-A was the seventh largest fast food restaurant in America in 2017. Today they're the fifth largest, and by the end of this year, they'll probably be the third largest. Moving Burger King and Wendy's aside, excuse me very much, and God declares this word in 1 Samuel chapter 2, those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now, friends, do you believe that? Do you believe in God? Do you believe that God is sovereign? Do you stand for righteousness, or do you shy away from righteousness, and do you buckle when it comes to the homosexual trends of the day? Are you willing to stand against the zeitgeist? Are you willing to stand against the neo-Marxism of the day and take a stand? Because, friends, God is God. God is over all. God is sovereign. Acknowledge him. Stand for what he believes. State the truth. State it in love. Yes, state it in love. And call people to repentance and faith in Christ, reminding them that this is why the Son of God came. He died on the cross for our sins in order that we would be set free from our sins and we will be received by him into glory forever and ever. Give the gospel, yes, but don't you buckle when it comes to standing and declaring the sinfulness of sin and the gracefulness and the powerfulness of grace, the grace of God to save us from these sins. Friends, don't back away from the power of the gospel. Don't back away from the power of the message. Don't you equivocate on a single word in that gospel message that Jesus indeed came to save us from our sins. That is, our transgressions of the law of God, which includes all of the forms of sexual sin described in the Word of God and represented by so many today. Friends, we're all sinners here. We need the grace of God, but let's be sure that we don't back away from the powerfulness of the gospel message and what Jesus came to do. He came to save us from our sins, and we are going to back that message up again and again on this radio program. We're going to encourage you to take a stand. Hey, God is testing our faith at times like these. He's asking you, are you willing to stand and believe in Him? And believe in His power and His salvation, His gospel, at a time like this where the world is shaming you from taking that stand. Are you willing to take the stand in faith, or will you buckle? And of course, at the end, it will be the cowards. It will be those lacking in that faith. It will be the sexual impure that will be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. So be sure that you repent of your wrong views of God. And you come to Him in humility and cry out for His salvation and depend on Christ to save you from your sins. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast, friends. I'd encourage you to my little book called The Story of Freedom to better understand the power of God, the sovereignty of God, the law of God, and God's system of government. All of these things included in this little book called The Story of Freedom. And indeed, it brings in the gospel message and how it relates to our political freedoms as well. The Story of Freedom is available now at our website. We just got a load of books into our warehouse, and we encourage you to this book. Tell the story of freedom. Define freedom. Describe it. Defend it. And be sure that you pass that legacy and that heritage on to your children as well. The book is called The Story of Freedom, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.